Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
Another catch up, unfortunately, another ball tampering scandal. Apparently going back to the Ashes this time, Marto.
Well, they're saying that we use sugar during the Ashes.
Please.
Did you say that? Robin, did you see the footage? It had him at the, the little table with the urn there and everything. And he was scooping it up, and it was quite clearly those raw sugar cubes, but the doctor saying, oh, no, it was a special mint that I required them to.
Oh, they're rubbish.
They're full of crap. There's got to be a few people fall
we've
over.
We've all dipped the kookaburra in the Splendor a couple of times, haven't we? Surely. The PM Rich Uncle Mowley's calling through as well, Robin Bailey.
Oh, yes, we were talking about when have you ever cheated, as we found out Moon is a great cheater at a cricketing board game. I cheat too if it sped it up. Jeez, they're boring.
Jeez, we talked a bit of cheating. Can you imagine if an Australian cricketer pulled up at a music festival? Got anything on you? Nah. You sure? Because look down your pants.
Hey, Cameron.
Why
wouldn't he put it in his hat like every music festival goer?
Righto. Enjoy the catch-up.
Hey, listen, what happened in Cape Town in that third cricket test? We won't find out all the details or exactly the punishments for Dave Warner and Steve Smith until tomorrow morning when they've had the meeting over. That'll be nighttime on Tuesday over in South Africa. They're going through it all at the moment. But I'll tell you one thing. Them saying that they cooked it up at lunchtime, there's a lot of doubt being cast on that right now because they're going back to the Ashes tour going, hold on, the Aussies were doing this. Cam Bancroft with that coarse raw sugar in his pocket, he was rubbing the ball. I know it all sounds bizarre, but this is
for a non-cricket person, it seems ridiculous.
You're trying to ruin the ball on one side and keep it shiny on the other. You know, are you using lollies to make the shiny side shinier, or are you using rough stuff to make the rough side rougher? Who knows? But I tell you, here's one thing. Yanni de Villiers used to be a fast bowler used to be a cricketer for South Africa. He was commentating, and he described they were onto it hours before it was on tape.
If they can get reverse swing in the 26th, 27th, 28th over, then they are doing something different from what everybody else does. And we actually said to our cameraman, go out, have a look, boys. They are using something, and they always did something. And they searched for an hour and a half until they saw something, and then they started following Bancroft, and they actually caught him out of there.
It was going on for a while.
And so the reputation of the Australian team and these players in particular lies in tatters. Mm. And so
what about the cost?
They are. Well, they're facing suspension, aren't they, for potentially a year. Already Steve Smith is on a base salary of $2 million and Dave Warner $1.4 million. So that's just their salaries. Yeah. On top of that is all the endorsements that come along with being a high-profile sporting star. For Steve Smith, it's Weet-Bix, the face of a family breakfast cereal, asking how many do you do? I don't think he'll be asking that for very long. And, of course, American footwear giant New Balance. But Davey Warner has a huge list of endorsements on his website, which include Nestle Milo, Toyota, ASIC, LG, Toyota, and Channel 9.
What about that OLED TVs? Was that LG, is it? I would never have to see that ad again. That would be the good thing to come out of this.
So, their bank managers also be tapping their feet thinking, are they going to be able to make their mortgages? Boys, I would get your CVs together because you are going to cop an absolute hiding financially.
Did he just buy an $8 or $9 million house, Davey Warner?
Let's hope he paid cash.
Ooh. I just can't. I still can't get my head around someone not saying, hey, no, let's just play cricket. Let's try and get them out, by bowling, by fielding well, by being smart with our strategy.
They're obviously pretty tight. Like, they're both New South Welshmen. They're obviously pretty tight, and one of them said to the other one, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, because it appears that none of the bowlers were involved in the decision. Well, that'll come out in the next day or so. But they all want to distance themselves because they don't want to lose all their sponsors and money, I suppose. They're all going, we weren't asked. No one didn't even tell us about it.
Already today, people have been drawing all sorts of analogies. Trevor Chappell has said this episode will haunt you for the rest of your life, like the underarm did with me from 1983. Someone has drawn the analogy between Steve Smith and James Heard, whose reputation was destroyed during the Essendon drug scandal.
That's not a bad link, that one.
2012. It will not leave him. He won't be able to shake this.
Cricket Australia in a bit of trouble. Can we talk big end of town? Now, Cricket Australia last Friday told Channel 9 and Channel 10 to go away and sharpen your pencils and get back to us when you're fair dinkum about the five-year broadcast deal. Broadcast deals in all the sports come up for 5 years at a time, okay? and the Cricket Australia have watched Rugby League get a record deal. They've watched AFL get a record deal, and they've gone, our turn for a big go at the cookie jar. And their last deal was $500 million, okay, mm-hmm. for 5 years. So $100 million a year. And remember, Cricket Australia gets 80% of their income from their broadcast deal. So they need that money. They're expecting that $100 million, especially after Big Bash has gone so well, they're expecting it to go up by double. So instead of $500 million for 5 years, they were expecting $1 billion. Because Facebook wants to have a go, because Netflix is around, because Telstra wants to have a go, Optus wants, because there's all the streaming, etc. And Fox Sports, who aren't involved in anything at the moment, they want to have a dig. So they've got all these people. So they were overconfident, like, this is Friday, okay? They said, oh, bugger off, you're not even close. They were $850 million. Now with all of this, apparently they're running, it costs Channel 9 $100 million a year loss to show the cricket.
Oui.
Because of the Packer, because of the Packer aura, which has now left Channel 9, they've always valued cricket. Who cares if we lose money because it leads all these other things. Okay, so now Cricket Australia, just because of this incident, because of Steve Smith and Dave Warner, whatever's happened, they are going to go back to where they were. So they were expecting to make all this dough, and now they're gone skint.
Can I just ask one question? I know there's a joke made that the two most powerful people in Australia are the Prime Minister and the captain of the Australian cricket team.
It's not a joke.
Okay, well, but in all of this, in the hierarchy of how the cricket team works, where does the coach sit?
Below That's the captain. That's a very good question.
Below the captain in cricket.
Okay, so below the captain in cricket,
figuratively, Robin.
Because they never had a captain.
Darren Lehman is the father of this team. There's no doubt about it. He raised Steve Smith as his own, and he's got a big influence there in the room.
But they never had a coach until 20 years ago, Australian cricket, because Ian Chappell went, we don't need a coach. I'm the captain. I do everything. And there's a lot of that keeps on going on.
Okay, but here's my question. Where's Darren Lehman in all of this? That man has not said a single word.
Good point.
They said today in the Courier Mail, silence is deafening, and he needs to stand up and say something. It's gone since Sunday, and he has not said boo to a goose.
No, he hasn't said a word, has he?
No,
he's just gone home.
Not one single word.
Which probably implicates him. I'll tell you what, in the next 2 days, Justin Langer will be named Australian coach of the Australian team.
I do have a bit of a confession, guys. I've let myself down badly. As you know, I spoke last week about doing a comedy show on Saturday night, and Ryan Gallagher, one of the single men from Married at First Sight, the one that was married to Davina originally, was making his comedy debut. It had been previewed on ACA, A Current Affair, during the week.
Can we just remember, you were going to be the headline act for this comedy night. Of course, everything leads up to the Moon Man.
Yeah, the headline act. And, of course, Ryan was getting a lot of the publicity, which I was fine with.
No, you weren't.
But wasn't. No. correct. And I had a bit of a mindset. I was like, you know, these reality TV stars, they go, well, I want to do comedy, and all of a sudden he's on the bill and getting, you know, a lot of the kudos. Mm. So I was thinking, you know, a bit of a tool, a bit of a wanker in my head.
Yeah, then they want to do radio. They're always the same. Yeah. Well, we better get him on radio. They're duds.
Yeah, anyway, I go into the dressing room or the backstage area, and there's a bunch of comedians around, and there's Ryan. He goes, oh, Moon Man.
Oh, no.
And he comes straight over. He goes, oh, I love how you do the Prime Minister. You're hilarious, mate. I've been dying to meet you. And I was immediately feeling shame.
So in that moment, you went, Ryan, my best mate.
My mate. But still, I wasn't giving him too much. Anyway, he gives me a big hug, massive unit, like he must pump some iron. He's, you know, arms are as big as my legs. He gives me a big squeeze. He goes, no, seriously, mate, you are the funniest. He's just pouring praise on me.
I love that.
And so I thought, all right, well, I better.
You are good, man. Yeah.
Better have a chat to him. And I said, so, you know, what's your story? Where did you grow up? And he goes, oh, I grew up in Maroubra. I said, are you a bra boy? He goes, no, mate, no. Oh, you know, I used to hang with that crew. And if you don't know about the Bra Boys, it was like a surf group that got themselves into a lot of trouble. There was drug charges charges of assault, and they all had the postcode on the right side.
They're very jealous of their turf. You can't surf there unless you're from there.
They basically turned surfing into being a biker. Mm. And so I said, are you postcoded? You know, have you got the postcode? He goes, no, but I've got this. And he shows me a tat on his hip that says brother for brother. And
oh
then he
gosh,
goes,
he really
and of course, I'm a South supporter, and he pulls down his dacks, not exposing himself completely, to show his shaved pubic area with a rabbit jumping across. Oh, the rabbit eyes,
no,
rabbit.
No,
jumping
no,
across his gear.
No, yes. For real.
Yes, indeed. For
there'd be a lot of those going on, jumping rabbits after so that grand final win a few years
not
ago.
There.
The little leaping rabbit. Yes, it's leaping across there. It's not
unless
exactly
you went it out the backside going down the rabbit hole.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so we've become very close very quickly.
Yes.
He's
did you show him anything?
To me. No, I didn't. I haven't got any tattoos down there. It's still pretty. Actually, it's pristine rainforest still down there. So, so immediately, I have a bit of a chat to him. Yeah. He goes on and does his gig and he comes off and he goes, what did you reckon? And I lied to him and told him it was good.
Yeah. was it not good? Was it not good? What was it?
Some old internet jokes, you know, fashioned to be about him, basically, and
would
and
he have been gonged on Red Faces?
But
that's always the guide. Would he have been gonged by Red?
Oh, he would have been gonged by Red.
Yeah,
a lot of people that night would have been gonged by Red, probably including me in the end. But then I had to have a man-to-man chat to him. I said, listen, Ryan, you probably want me to speak to you about comedy. And he goes, oh, I'd love some advice about comedy. I said, but first I need to know who you slept with on Married at First Sight. Who were the ones?
Yeah. Tell me.
So, is this too salacious? Do you want to know this news?
I think it depends whether the mags have already beaten you to it. Obviously, Davina, but that was revealed on the show.
He had sexual relations with Davina.
Yeah.
How many times?
Well, I was married to her. I said, is it really married? He goes, no, not really. And Ashley. And I said, so just two?
The blondie from Brizzy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
little
yeah.
pixie head.
Well, that there was one, photos of them going to the gym.
Is that the one he
gym.
Cheated on?
No.
Yeah, or cheated with, rather?
No.
Who, is that the story?
No.
Ashley?
No. Ashley broke up with Troy, and then there were photos in the magazine of them going to the gym together here in Brisbane.
I'll need the whiteboard.
So that doesn't surprise me too much.
When you say, so going to the gym together, so you just draw the conclusion if two people go to the gym together, they're sleeping together.
Well, if they're married at first sight and it's early morning, I think it's a fair crack.
Oh, Mardo, I'm not going to the gym with you anymore.
To keep us on top of all the national issues, he joins us every week. It's a great pleasure. We welcome our PM, Rich Uncle Mal. Hello, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Hello to you, Robin, and the Moon Man, of course, and to you, young Brenda. Always a pleasure, never a chore.
Now, you went pretty hard on the Aussie cricket team on Sunday.
Well, I think they deserve their fair whack, don't you think, Robin? And where is Boof? Come on, Boof. Have something to say. I did because cheating is not the Australian way. We are a nation of the fair go, and on top of that, our reputation as a sporting nation feeds directly into the national psyche. Our national identity, if you will, is at stake. That, and I saw a great opportunity to bury the 29th news poll. What? Sorry, didn't hear about that one. What about him over there cheating? They say, and I think you said this, Robin, being the Australian cricket captain is the second toughest job in the country. Correction, toughest. Good luck to Tim Payne. Here's some advice. Don't tamper with your balls, mate.
That's it's a question.
Ball.
Yes, sir. It's a question we've all got to ask ourselves. PM, have you ever cheated?
Well, some might draw a sketchy analogy between my win at all costs, knife a sitting Prime Minister, shock and awe tactics, white handing an ultimate victory to wrestle the Prime Ministership off Tony. But no, I don't think I ever have. I mean, I certainly didn't go the guy with hardware stuffed inside my trousers. I didn't have an angle grinder in my jocks, or I didn't pull out a nail gun. I didn't have a hot glue gun wedged between my crack. Do you get the picture?
Yes, we do.
I didn't have a router nestling next to my junk.
Okay,
we got the picture before that.
Yeah, thank you. Easter this week. Let's change the subject. Yeah. How are you spending it?
What a lovely time it is, Easter. And everyone's looking forward to the long weekend. Easter is a time of redemption, unless you're Steve Smith, when we celebrate the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact he rose again. Of course, For the children, it's the Easter Bunny and chocolate. For a lot of Brisbane people, it's camping and the long weekend and then Jesus and a round of football that seems to go forever and Jesus and chocolate. The next stop, Queen's birthday. Listen, Lucy and I often have some friends over to the Piper for a fondue party. We crank up the tunes, get a little fruity. I get hammered on Sangiovese and pass out on the couch wearing my bunny ears.
Well, sounds like an orgy, sir.
Yes, you're correct, Marto. It's an orgy. There's no doubt about it. It's absolutely an orgy. And I just want to say today, the Triple M rocks your Lord Mayor Quirky, who was on the show talking about infrastructure. Good on you guys.
One of the things that's been dominating the national conversation for 2 days is Steve Smith in the Australian cricket team. Last night I sat down to dinner with my wife, who knows sweet FA about cricket, and she wanted to talk about how it worked and why they came to that decision. And then we started talking about the moral implications of it all and what's going to, you know, unfold. And I was thinking, you know, I was always taught as a young Catholic boy, judge lest ye be judged, you know. Let he is without sin throw the first stone. And we are all judging Steve Smith very harshly because we think we're not cheats. Well, I started to think about that last night and I thought, yes, I am a cheat.
What did you cheat at?
I cheated at Test cricket.
What?
Yes.
I remember you. Were you a bowler or a batsman?
No.
Moon,
I was an all-rounder, actually.
Mooney.
Marto. And now,
Mooney.
Do you remember?
What year?
The year was 1976, and I was playing Test cricket during the school holidays. We had the board game where it had that little slide. Not the players on the ground where you'd roll the ball. No, not the shoot. Oh. It was a board game where you'd have a little, like, slide, and you'd the bowler would go to ball number one, and it would come up full toss or googly or whatever.
And then
the cricketer or the batsman would then slide his slide around to whatever ball it was,
and
it would come up
runs.
Four, or caught, bowled, LBW, or single, and then you would go on and score. I loved it. I loved it so much.
Really?
Nerd alert.
Anyway, so we would play, and there were, you know, two guys either side, and sometimes when you slid the slide around and then came back to the start, it'd be half-half, and so everyone would then decide whether it was, you know, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I was half-half on an LBW and four runs, and my brother had gone out to get a drink, so Chris Edmonds, our neighbour who I was playing with, went out to get my brother, and I decided to just fudge it a little bit.
Of course.
And just as he left the room, he turned around and he saw me doing it.
Wee. Busted
anyway,
cheating.
He goes, "You're cheating, mate." And I said, "No, I'm not. I was just making sure that it was, you know, it had gone to the end." And he told my brother that I was cheating. And Steve asked me, "Did you cheat?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And so it ended a friendship between my brother and the neighbour because it's like, don't call my brother a cheater. He goes, I saw him cheating.
So he backed you and you did.
Yeah. And so
that's pretty wicked. I know
not
that doesn't seem
cheat.
Like much
not
to anyone
cheap,
who wasn't there, but
it's big.
Also
a liar and a cheat.
Yeah.
And I reckon if I spoke to Chris Edmonds today, he would remember that.
I bet he would.
And he would always
it's a
go,
moment.
Whether I see you on the TV or hear you on the radio,
you're
I just think
cheater.
You're a low dog
cheater.
But
low
see, I think
cheater.
Board games and are the actual parameter in which you teach children about cheating and not cheating.
Board games?
Board games
yes,
are Monopoly. I remember, them hotels, they're not houses. You can't put a hotel on Mayfair if you've only bought a house.
Play by the
Don't
rules.
Steal
that
the money
is
out of the bank.
Don't steal the money out of the bank.
All of
that.
And you know what?
Yeah.
It was a school holidays and my mother worked, so I didn't have that parental guidance, so I blame my mum.
Just left your run low.
Olive, this is your fault.
You'd bred a cheater. Can I tell you, my mum had plenty of time for me. She was the one who got me into tennis. I spent most of my younger life playing tennis. And there weren't umpires when you're a kid. And everyone knew where the ball went in or out. You made your own decisions at your end. No, that was in, that was out. Everyone knew who the cheaters were. And my mum forced on us the pride of never cheat anyone. Don't lie about things. It'll all work out in the end. You don't have to cheat to get through life.
And that's the thing. You know, it's one of the essential things that your parents teach you. That's like it's a hollow victory if you break the rules.
It's no use. You play by the rules. That's life.
And I've got to say, you know, I remember that incident so well that it just, you know, branded into me. There's no victory if you lie. And the repercussions of cheating are horrible. So, Chris, if you're out there,
I won, matey. Yeah.
Let's open up a little bit of an amnesty. If you've ever cheated.
Dirty low breed cheaters.
So it's a time to cleanse yourself. It's an amnesty right here on the Big Breakfast Break.
Okay, come clean, Greg Martin.
Don't tell me. I said I didn't have any. Oh, you know that. That's only a little cheat.
Come on.
Wife.
Come on.
Moon was at a. What was yours in Test cricket? Mine's with a TE score, which used to be the OP scores, used to be called TE scores. When my wife and I first got together, I asked her, what'd you get your TE score? Because we were both at university. She said 9.45. And
that's
I said,
very
oh,
good, Kath. Well done.
It was very good. I said, I got 9.50. I actually got 9.45, but for 12 years, first 12 years of our being together, she was under the impression that I was more intelligent at school, and then she found it in a drawer at home. My leaving school certificate said I cheated. I only cheated my wife.
You are. It's more lying than cheating, though, because you didn't break the rules.
So I'm a liar. I'm not a low breed cheater like you.
Not a low cheat. No. And yes, like Steve Smith, I cheated at Test cricket, the board game in 1976, ending a friendship with the neighbour.
No one ever forgets a cheater.
No, they don't. And so I'm opening up today. I'm saying, you know, if you've cheated and you want to clear the air.
You feel better?
Give us a call. John from Redland Bay.
Oh.
You're a cheater.
Oh, no. It's Robin. Robin of Chimera. Have you cheated?
Hello. Yes, I did.
What happened?
On a board game with my twin brother, the board game Memory. He always won. So I got a pen and I made like little pictures in the corner of the card so I could win.
Oh, so you could remember what's on the other side.
Yes.
Cheater.
Did he ever bust you, Robin?
He didn't, but then when I was playing with my sister, she did. So then all the cards had to have the same little mark on them so we could still use the game.
Oh, God. What a good game that used to be, Memory.
I love the fact that your sister worked it out and your brother didn't.
I know.
How's the relationship with your brother now, Robin? Is it mended or is it still a rift?
No, we're all good. We're all good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I bet you he doesn't
have
play.
Repercussions.
Yeah, he would never play a board game because she can't be trusted.
There you go, John of Redland Bay. Have you ever cheated?
Yeah, well, I've got a bit of a cricket story, actually. What happened was back in the 80s when I was playing warehouse cricket, my captain came up with this plan that when we played on the synthetic wickets, the old Gabba Grass wickets, that he would actually put the cricket ball in the freezer overnight.
Oh, what?
The old little ball.
What does that do?
The freezer. What makes it like a rock hard ball? Like it's a lot harder than what the normal cricket ball would be. So, and then you take it down in the esky down to the game, and we'd open the bowling, and I used to open the bowling with this other guy, and the ball would actually really sort of zip through a lot quicker than normal. And unfortunately, one day I was bowling, and I put this ball in a little bit short, and collected this guy right on the nose, and splattered him down. Splattered all over the stumps, blood everywhere, and I thought maybe we shouldn't do that with a cricket ball in the freezer.
No. Yeah, mate, when you needed to ice his nose, did you just say bring the ball over?
That's we just gave him the ball and just told him to take the ball in.
That's incredible.
But wasn't it cold? Like, couldn't people work out that it was frozen?
Well, as a fielding team, we're the only ball that touched. You know, we never gave it back to the umpire.
Batsman never touched it, yeah. But that's a story. Bring your own ball.
That is an excellent story.
Imagine if you let
John.
The Australian cricket team do that.
They would.
They'd have it at Bunnings for a half an hour before the game.
Mike of South Brisbane, have you ever cheated?
Yes, unfortunately, Monopoly.
Yeah, classic.
Great. How did you
story,
cheat, Mike?
Coffs Harbour, Tough Town, Meadow Street. We were the gang. We were the boys.
Yeah.
And my brother was the leader, so I held some sway in the street. Anyway, I was always the banker at Monopoly, but this particular day, young fellow Trevor, you know, carried on like a bloody tart. So I want to be banker. So I let him be banker. And he would get his tongue and wet his elbow and put it on the $500 note and slip that over into his pile. Anyway, I caught him.
What?
Hold on.
Tongue, elbow, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the old spit on the elbow on the $500 over to his bank.
Never thought of it.
So, of course, a hell of a blue broke out, and he bolted out of our house, and like we were, like all kids, you know, little two-bedroom house, three kids under the one roof. Whatever you had was sacred, and he's barreled some of my mother's most famous crockery that had been handed down through the ages. So I've spat So I grabbed the slug gun, chased him down the street,
and shot
let
him.
One go, and unfortunately shot him in the in the bum.
Rough justice.
So, and?
Well, that's how justice was dealt in Coffs Harbour.
Well, it's a wonder A.B. de Villiers didn't follow that over in South Africa, have a kid, couple of pings.
That kid went on to work for one of the big Fords and is now in front of the Royal Commission, so didn't do him any good.
It's a big breakfast.
Some big news coming out overnight about the Brisbane Metro. Now, I know we've been talking forever and politicians have been trying to lobby this government, that government, about the Cross River Rail. Something needs to change in Brisbane, and it appears that it has, and to help us explain what the hell's going on with this Brisbane Metro, our Lord Mayor, Graham Quirk. Morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Marto. Morning, Robin and Moon Man.
What's going on?
Well, look, what the story is that there's two projects. There's Cross River Rail and that of Brisbane Metro. Both can be built independently, but are designed to be coordinated, and they're complementary projects. In terms of the Brisbane Metro, it is regarded now as a high-priority project, and that means that we're in a box seat, I suppose, for consideration in terms of funding.
Okay, so when are we going to get it?
Yeah, well, Robin, these projects aren't built overnight, but 2022 would be the completion of the project, but then it would start operating after commissioning in 2023. So that's probably the earliest that you would get it. There's two metros in terms of lines. One goes from Royal Brisbane Women's Hospital at Hurst and out to the University of Queensland, and the other one goes from Roma Street to 8 Mile Plains.
Quirky, are we talking railway lines, or is it just part of the busway? Is it what is it?
Yeah, it follows the bus corridor. So what's currently bus corridor, but we also add to it. So in other words, there's got to be a undergrounding along Adelaide Street to link the cultural centre with the King George Square bus station. So it essentially creates a link north and south of the river.
But buses already go there, and buses are already at Hurston. What are we getting?
But the issue is that there's a lot of congestion within that network. Yeah. So the moment you can suffer up to 20-minute delays in that network, and if we don't upgrade it, then what's going to happen? People are going to say, well, this is all too hard. I'm going back to my car. So the idea is that Brisbane Metro would have a 3-minute frequency in the peak, 5 minutes off peak, 10 minutes at night, and run for 20 hours a day approximately, Sunday through to Thursday, and 24 hours a day on Friday and Saturday nights.
How many kilometres are we talking all up? Because I just get the feel now that, you know, when we build road or rail, it's all very piecemeal. So how many k's all up?
21 kilometres in terms of the length.
All right, all sounds good.
We cannot let you go without talking about what's going on with local councils in Queensland. We've had Pasali, we've now had Luke Smith. What seems to be happening? You are the head of the biggest council in Queensland. What's going on with these guys?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the matters are all before the courts at the moment, so it's very difficult for me to comment much, Robin, but obviously concerning reputationally, I think for all mayors that are out there doing the right thing. And I just say to people that the overwhelming majority are in this for the right reason. They're doing the right thing. But I don't want to comment beyond that because they are matters that that are before the courts.
Okay, fair enough. I'm sure it makes you cross, though.
Well, obviously, you know, it's not a good thing. Reputation is very important. Local government, by and large, do a great job for communities, and we want to make sure that continues and will continue to be the case.
All right, Lord Mayor Graham Quirk, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you. Thank you, team.
Dirty cheaters everywhere in Australian sport. About 11 o'clock yesterday, it was Manly Warringah Rugby League Club who were in the sights of Todd Greenberg as he announced this.
In July last year, the Manly Club invited the NRL to examine its books to clear up any doubt about its salary cap compliance. Regrettably, the club did have something to hide. Serious breaches of the salary cap rules.
My oath, they had something to hide. Why would you invite them? Why wouldn't you make them investigate? Anyway, there's a lot of question marks on this, and hopefully we can clear it up straight away with this bloke, Josh Masood from Channel 7, their rugby league reporter. Hello, mate. Can you give us a hand?
Yeah, it does sound a bit curious when someone's inviting you to give them up for a breach, but the way this all happened, boys, you might remember a couple of years ago there was some match-fixing claims against the Seagulls.
Oh, yeah.
That sparked a police investigation. Well, the police came up with a big donut over that. But in the course of getting emails, text messages, interviewing people in the Star Chamber, they did come up with a bit of intelligence on salary cap breaching that they passed on to the NRL. So it wasn't really a case of Manly inviting the NRL in. It was a case of the NRL saying, you've got to let us in, otherwise we'll come down on hard on you because we've got all this. Now, I don't really agree with police intelligence being used to enforce the rules of a game that aren't in a criminal code, but that's what's happened here.
Hey, Josh, there's a lot of this around Daly Cherry Evans. Like, it's third-party payments. Now, if anyone doesn't understand, the club can't help you get the third-party payments. Your manager has to go and do that, whereas Manly were going, yeah, we'll sort that out. Was that part of it?
Yeah, mate, I think in layman's terms, you pretty much hit it on the head. The NRL saying that there's $1.5 million worth of outside payments that weren't properly declared to the NRL, so exactly at arm's length between the manager and the third-party sponsor, not involving the club itself. But also, boys, there were occasions here at Manly where they promised to do best endeavours to get a third party, and that's permitted, or was permitted, under the NRL rules at the time. But then when those best endeavours don't come to fruition, the club can't then guarantee them and pay them themselves. And I think there's been some evidence of Manly doing that, albeit through a backdoor way.
Now, Josh, do we know whether those third party payments are in cash or in kind? Was it goods and services? And is there a difference in the code for the NRL?
Well, there's no difference if they're not declared properly. The only difference would be from a tax perspective. And no, I don't know the answer to that, but I know it's a romantic notion, the old brown paper bag in the McDonald's car park. We're led to believe that it happened up until recently. In this case, I doubt it. I think that it would be funneled through different accounts associated with the player and with a club official. As we know, boys, there's 6 degrees of separation to anything anyone can get to anyone.
Yep, the insular peninsula, they call it. Now, mate, Bob Fulton's a very wealthy, independently wealthy man. He came in to sort of advise him, general manager of football. There's allegations that his fingerprints are all over this, but he's just gone, see ya, I've got nothing to do with it.
And, yeah, like, I think those questions are being rightfully asked. The timing of Bob Fulton's departure from Manly a month after this investigation was announced invites those questions. Bob Fulton was basically the head of Manly's recruitment during the final 2 years of this suspicious period, and he steps aside so that he can't be forcibly interviewed because he's no longer a registered participant of the game. That's got to ask some big questions. Now, Bob has come out today and said that he offered to be interviewed at the back end of the investigation face-to-face. That offer wasn't taken up, and he's saying he's quite willing to tell his story to the NRL. We'll see what comes of that. He's threatening legal action. We'll see what comes of that.
Josh, a lot of Eels fans up here in Brizzy. How come they lost competition points when they rorted the salary cap and the Manly Seagulls haven't?
That's a really, really good question. I can understand those fans being absolutely filthy. Mm. The NRL's excuse, well, that Manly technically aren't over the salary cap. So even though these third-party deals weren't executed properly, were executed outside the rules, even when you add them on, they're still compliant with the cap, and that's why they haven't lost points.
Manly got away with this.
Well, that's why Manly invited them in, because they thought they could.
They did.
Very murky. We wish it wasn't part of the game. Josh Massu, Channel 7's Chief Rugby League Reporter. Thanks for your time, mate.
Anytime, guys.
Yeah, back in my day.
That's right. It's Back in My Day, and we are visiting a TV show this week, and it's only had 98 episodes, but it went right throughout our childhood with 7 castaways.
Just sit right back and you hear a tale of a fateful ship that started from this tropic boy aboard this tiny ship.
So that's it. It's Gilligan's Island. 7 characters that included the skipper and Gilligan, of course, Mr. and Mrs. Howe, the millionaires, Ginger, the glamorous movie star, Mary Ann, and the Professor. Through those 98 episodes, here's some interesting trivia for you, Robin and Mardo. Mary Ann and Ginger never wore the same outfit. Even though they went on a 3-hour cruise.
Oh, my kind of girls.
The radio.
I reckon Lovey did as sisters. Well. Remember the millionaire's wife, Lovey? She always had different gear on. Yeah. And who was making the cocktails for her all the time? And where is she getting them from?
She was played by a woman called Natalie Schaffer. And it was a very well-kept secret amongst the cast and crew, but Natalie was actually 13 years older than her, the actor that played her husband, Jim Backus.
How did he make his money?
The millionaire.
Now, that is very interesting. He said, as the character Mr. Howell, that he was a billionaire before the Great Depression when he turned into a millionaire, and he'd made his money. He made his money through diamond mines and corporations, and he also had a company called the Hatchet Cuckoo Oil Company in Dust Bowl, Oklahoma.
Did he say that on the show, or did you just Google it and that was the backstory?
No, he. This is all quotes from the show.
So was that supposed to be Hawaii, where a 3-hour tour, like you think it takes an hour and a half to get over to Moreton Island, an hour and a half back, like they're only going 30 k's and they seem to be lost for a hell of a long time.
They were lost for a long time.
But there were a lot of things that visited the island and they managed to leave. Like, remember, there were natives, there were some astronauts once, weren't there? There was a lion on the island.
Gilligan even got a jetpack.
That's right.
The professor could make a radio out of a coconut, but he couldn't fix a boat.
Yeah.
So, here's something about the cast, though. 99 episodes, very committed cast. Yeah. The whole cast was in all 99 except for three of them, and that was Marianne and Ginger, the only two surviving members of the cast, and the professor only missed one episode. The big question is Gilligan. Was it his first name or his second name?
Oh.
Mm. In the original pilot, he was Willie Gilligan, so it's in fact his second name.
That's amazing.
And the boat, the SS Minnow, was named after the Federal Communications Commissioner, Newton Minnow, who was an enemy of Sherwood Schwartz,
Oh, was an enemy of, right.
Yeah, so did you do a uni degree in Gilligan's Island?
I've just started reading about it and I could not stop. And here's something really fascinating too, because, like I said, only 98 episodes that we watched all through our childhood. The original pilot, they had to cut out flags at half mast as the boat went out because it was shot around the time of the death of JFK. Oh, so there was a whole lot of flags at half mast. We want to know today your memories of Gilligan's Island, favourite episodes, favourite bits and pieces.
Can I ask you, Moon, before we get underway, are you a Marianne or a ginger guy?
I know I'll be flying in the face of a knotted gingham shirt here from my past. But it was Ginger for me.
Oh, my God.
Tina Louise. How glamorous.
Okay.
Yeah, back in my day.
It's all about nostalgia back in my day, and we're throwing back today to Gilligan's Island, a show we all would have watched after coming home from school.
But it was made in the 60s, Moon, but it just kept on going forever and ever. It's probably on TV now somewhere, is it?
It would be.
The pilot was made in 63, and it kept going from 64 to 67. Now, just off air, Robin, you were talking about how one of the women in the show, Thurston Howell the Third's wife, Mrs. Howell, made her money.
Yeah, so she was born in 1900 but never revealed that, and no one ever found out till after her death. So she was, as you said, 13 years older than her TV screen husband. Yeah. She made multi-millions of dollars out of real estate, and when she died, she divided it up in three ways. She gave some to care for her dogs. She gave some to the Lillian Booth Actors Home to renovate the hospital's outpatient wing, which renamed in her honour in 1993. And then the remaining third was given to Dawn Wells, who of course played Marianne because she was her carer for the last 4 years of her life.
Marianne looked after Lovey.
Yes, she did.
Oh. And Marianne was married to a TV agent who signed into her contract residuals for the rest of her life. So she is still making money from Gilligan's Island. We want to hear from you and your Gilligan's Island memories. 1-333-53. Give us a call. Brent from Thornlands, what do you remember of the show?
Good morning, guys. Firstly, I was a Marianne fan.
Yeah, good work.
But, and obviously lots of memories growing up watching Gilligan's Island. But as I was listening to you, Mooney, explain the detail and the history, I could just imagine you guys, you could have Mardo would be the skipper, Moon, you would be a fantastic Gilligan. Of course, Robin would have to be Ginger. And I reckon Brenda would make a good professor. If we're looking for some filler for the web page, I think we've got a skit there that's worth going.
That's not bad.
Oh, okay. Brent, nice.
Brent, how come Gilligan's
dressing up?
How come Gilligan's footy jersey never faded the whole series?
How did the skipper remain the same size for so many years?
Never took off weight.
That's right.
Good point, Brent. Thank you. And Mike and Mount Crosby, what would you like to say about Gilligan's Island?
The big unanswered question for me is, what was Mrs. Howell's first name other than Lovey?
I don't know. Ooh, we have the answer to that.
It's not anywhere that I can find.
We found out how they made money, diamond mines. Do you remember, hey, Mike, while are you looking, Robin?
I'm trying.
While Robin searches, do you remember that episode when they found the submarine, Rick came in and the professor fixed it up and then Gilligan hopped in it and they went, right, this is the one, we're going to get rescued, and he left the hatch open and it just sank?
Oh, no.
Oh, Comedy Central.
Well, it's down in Wikipedia as Lovey Howe.
That's her name, Lovey.
There you go. So she doesn't have a first name.
She doesn't.
Okay, lovely, darling.
Unanswered questions of life sorted.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, cheers.
Bye. Big breakfast, Triple M.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.